This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by CruiserMax Vibrance Beans Seed Treatment from Syngenta for growers interested in using a seed treatment with proven performance against early season insects and diseases. All right, here we go. Let's get this week started. Winter storms rolling across the southern Midwest this morning. They're expected to move into the middle of the country and the upper Midwest later today. It is another active weather week here in the Midwest.
This is AgriTalk. This morning, we'll talk with Minnesota Representative Colin Peterson, Machinery Pete, and the founding chair of the National Hemp Association, Michael Bowen. And, of course, right after the news, we'll get a check of the weather from BAM WX's Michael Clark. I'm Davis Michelson, and now, your beloved host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
Hey, good morning, Davis. How you doing today?
Super psyched.
Yeah?
I can't wait to get this weekend off, or to get this week off the ground.
Are you already there?
I'm already there. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it's going to be a great conversation this morning. We've got a jam-packed show with Colin Peterson, Congressman Peterson from Minnesota. Yep. We've got Greg Peterson, also from Minnesota, but we're going to be talking about something different with Machinery Pete than what we will with Colin. And at the end of the show, we're talking hemp.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Newly legalized crop here, industrial hemp.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So should be interesting to see what Michael Bowen has to say about it. We had the conversation with him here recently, and he's got some interesting thoughts on how that crop might have an impact here in the Midwest.
A lot of questions about industrialized hemp. Some people are pointing to it as a potential panacea. Other people are looking at it more realistically, saying, "Well, you know what." What are we looking at here acreage-wise? What are we looking at here potential profit-wise? What are we going to do with all this?
Yeah.
It'll be great to have him on.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We'll try to get some of those questions answered for you this afternoon. Just a programming note. Tomorrow I am live with both hours of AgriTalk from the Northern Corn and Soybean Expo in Fargo, North Dakota.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. It's not that long ago since I was at the Northern Expo, and looking forward to getting back up there and talking with the guys from North Dakota and of course from the Red River Valley down into Northwest Missouri and so on. So it should be a good time.
If I was going to ballpark it, I'd say it was about a year ago. Does that seem right?
That I was up there?
Yeah, last up there.
Was I?
I don't know.
It wasn't a year ago.
You said it wasn't that long ago.
Oh, no. It's been 3 or 4 years.
Oh,
I try to keep things relative.
Okay. All right. Sure.
All right.
Relatively speaking, then.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Let's get into it. What's in the news?
Well, congressional Democrats have unveiled a new Green Deal. We talked about it a little bit on Friday. They claim it will transform the economy and combat climate change. The proposal includes changes to animal agriculture and urges farmers and ranchers to eliminate pollution and greenhouse gas emissions from their operations. A spokesperson from the Food First spoke in support of the plan, saying, quote, "The industrial overproduction of food, the root cause of agricultural pollution, food waste, and greenhouse gas emissions need to be stopped." Now, Colin Woodall, the senior vice president of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, has pointed out that U.S. beef producers are committed to sustainability, noting the industry produces the same amount of beef with 33% less cattle than in 1977, and reminded U.S. cattle production accounts for only 2% of total carbon emissions in the U.S. The NCBA has drafted a 6-point cost-benefit analysis and has asked environmental groups for more specifics. Woodall said, "What specifically are you proposing? How much will it cost, and how much will it affect global temperatures down the road? And how did you arrive at those numbers? Seems like anyone who is proposing billions or trillions of dollars worth of policy changes should be happy to answer those questions. Yet for some reason, few currently are." End quote. Chip, we're just asking to see the math on
needs
this.
Needs to be
all.
Stopped, Davis. It needs to be stopped. The system that is putting plentiful, cheap, safe food in the marketplace has got to be stopped, and we're doing it more environmentally friendly than we've done it in the last 50 years. Yep. But it's got to be stopped.
Well, it sounds like the NCBA is on it. So we'll see how it goes. In other news, spending talks reportedly hit a snag over the weekend over the number of detention beds that should be provided for detainees at the border with Mexico. While Democrats are seeking to limit the number of detainees held at the border, Republicans continue to press for more physical barriers. So they're kind of talking apples and oranges there just a little bit. Meanwhile, lawmakers must also reach a deal on homeland security if another round of government shutdowns is to be avoided. With the deadline looming on February 15, Chip, that's Friday, Congress scheduled to recess next week. A sense of urgency is building on Capitol Hill. Yeah. Chip, we got to get something going here on this.
We'll find out from Congressman Peterson what he's thinking here when we talk to him in the next segment.
President Trump was critical of congressional Democrats on Sunday, tweeting, quote, "I don't think the Dems on the Border Committee are being allowed by their leaders to make a deal. They're offering very little money for the desperately needed border wall and now, out of the blue, want to cap convicted violent felons to be held in detention." And one more note on a positive side, the Minnesota Department of Commerce released its 2018 station report, which delivered record-breaking E15 sales in the state and building momentum for E85. The report states in excess of 59 million gallons of E15 was purchased by Minnesotans, roughly triple sales of the fuel in 2017. Meanwhile, sales of E85 were also strong at 16.4 million gallons, which compares to 14.8 million gallons during the year before. Things are looking up for ethanol in Minnesota.
Yeah, no question about it. Maybe we'll start there with Representative Peterson when we talk with him here in the next segment. That'd be a great place to start with him. So
you betcha.
All right. Thank you, Davis. We'll talk with you soon. Mm-hmm. Let's bring in Michael Clark, meteorologist, BAMWX.com. Michael, we've got another active week ahead of us, and some of the areas of the Midwest are in store for some heavy snowfall, aren't they?
Yeah, they are, Chip. We got winter storm warnings now for most of the eastern half of Iowa and pretty much all of Wisconsin, southeast Minnesota. Some places up there are going to get a foot or more of snow. So it seems like it's never ending.
Yeah, and this isn't the only system here in the next 10 days, is it?
It's not. There's another one next week that will bring in colder temperatures. In fact, for 5 or 6 days next week, wind chills will be below zero to as cold as minus 20 for most of the central U.S. for a good stretch there. The good thing is that it will push this more active precipitation pattern further south and east out of the plains, so at least there might be a time for the pattern to relax, but two more systems to deal with before that happens.
Yeah, two more systems before that happens. You go back, I don't know, 6 weeks ago, something like that, Michael, when we talked about the switch from the first half of winter to the second half of winter was going to be brutal. It's happening, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's definitely living up to its name. And I will say that between now and, about the second week of March, this kind of pattern can continue. But I do think, for those that are looking further ahead, mid to late March, I think spring could suddenly arrive. At least we get rid of the colder temperatures and maybe warm it up a bit here mid-March. So something to look forward to.
Yeah, that would be fantastic if we could get a warm-up coming our way a little bit earlier than normal. That would be absolutely fantastic. Michael, have a good week. We'll talk with you again next week.
All right, thanks, Jim.
All right, that is Michael Clark, meteorologist at BAMWX.com. Coming up next, we are going to be talking with Minnesota Representative Colin Peterson,
provider of practical and effective precision ag technologies to help make farmers smarter every season. Learn more at precisionplanting.com.
Steve Gome, product lead for soybean seed care at Syngenta, joins us. Steve, we're planting soybeans earlier. How important is it to use a seed treatment to protect your soybeans from early season diseases?
It's very important. Like I've said before, I mean, there's a heavy investment that happens with seed nowadays, and protecting it is critically important. And we have a portfolio of seed treatments across a lot of crops, Cruiser Max Vibrant suite of products. That's not only going to give you protection, but it's going to give you the rooting power, vibrance, and the cruiser vigor effect, which at the end of the day not only protects the seed, but it's going to give you more yield at the end of the season.
Yeah, and you're risking a lot if you don't protect it.
Yeah, we're trying to get growers to really look at seed treatments more as investments than costs, and so that return on investment is certainly there with our seed treatment portfolio.
And Syngenta recommends using CruiserMax Vibrance Beans seed treatment to protect your soybeans from early season diseases during the critical early growth stage. That was Steve Gomm, soybean seed care product lead at Syngenta.
Current price times 1,000 acres, carry the one.
These days, it's hard to make the math work for your soybean fields. The BASF Liberty Link system with Liberty Herbicide makes it easier. Start with a 2-plus bushel per acre yield advantage. Add in lower system input costs and more complete weed control, and you get an extra $33 or more profit potential per acre compared to Asgrow Roundup Ready 2 Extend soybeans. Grow smart with Liberty Link and BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
As a farmer, you're challenged to be more efficient with every seed, every season. To work smarter for a greater return on investment, precision planting sensors and control systems account for the changing environments throughout your field so you can execute every pass with more accuracy, all with the equipment you already own. Precision planting, smarter every season. Find out more about precision planting at precisionplanting.com.
Use Radiate to give back to your crop's roots and pay it forward for generations to come. Radiate is the only root stimulant that can drive maximum root growth in all crops while growing the roots of all the young future farmers of America across the country. By using Radiate on your farm, you're helping Nutrien Ag Solutions give back to FFA and give back to the roots our crops and communities are built on. Ask your Nutrien Ag Solutions crop consultant for details about Radiate's give back program or learn more at RadiateRoots.com. Always read and follow label directions. Check registration in your state.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Hey, Jim, can you grab me something to drink?
Let's see here. Bud Light? No. More Bud Light? No. There's the Coors Light.
You can always count on Jim Wiesmeyer to sort through the noise and get to the good stuff, just like he does each Friday on the DC Signal to Noise podcast. Download it on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, Jim, what should I listen to?
Anything but Nickelback.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Radiate is designed to help crops build longer, stronger, healthier root systems. Ask your Nutrien Ag Solutions crop consultant about Radiate or go to RadiateRoots.com for more information. Always read and follow label directions.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, yep. Everybody.
That just happened.
Yeah. Yeah, Jim, keep digging to the bottom of the cooler there. I tell you. All right. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Let's get right into it. We've got Congressman Colin Peterson from Minnesota on the line with us. He is the chairman of the House Ag Committee, joins us right now. Congressman Peterson, thank you so much for the time.
Good morning. Glad to be with you.
Good deal. Good deal. Davis reported in the first segment there, Congressman, that the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce is reporting that there are record E15 sales throughout the state in 2018, E85 is gaining momentum. That's all great news.
It is, but if every state in the United States had the access to the market that Minnesota has,
yes,
we wouldn't have all these problems with the fights over ethanol. You know, we have blender pumps, we have E85 pumps, we have access to the market, and if people have the choice, they're going to choose ethanol.
That's right. That's been proven many times. And they'll choose biodiesel, too. What's the status of the biodiesel tax credit, Congressman?
Well, it's hard to tell. They claim that it's part of the negotiations that are going on right now with trying to keep the government running. But now that's been stalled, and yep. So I don't know. I'm not in the room. I have no idea what they're doing. They apparently have found a way to fight with each other again, and we'll see where it ends up.
Yeah. It's not that long ago, Congressman, that you were on a station up in Fargo and said, you know what, it may be time to just give President Trump his funding for the border wall. Is that still where your head is at?
Yeah, he's going to get some funding for the border wall. You know, that's going to be part of the deal. My issue is being down on the border. The problem is, eminent domain. We've given the government eminent domain authority over this, and so government can come in and take property from private citizens, even though the local folks don't believe that a wall is the right thing to do in that area. So I have a problem with that. But in the end of the day, if we're going to get something worked out here, the president's going to get something, whether it's a wall or a barrier or a fence or whatever it is, that's going to be part of the deal. And that's reality. And I would just stating reality is all I was doing.
No, I understand what you were doing in those comments. So now we've got some on the Democrat side of the aisle are looking to limit the number of beds for ICE detainees. Is that right?
I guess so. I mean, I don't know how they come up with this stuff, but
Congressman, like you sound frustrated by this.
Well, they always find some way to, to figure out how to fight with each other. You know, I don't know if apparently they think if they limit this that, I don't know that people are going to be set free, whatever. I have no idea what they think. But I can tell you this, that this problem is being created by our asylum laws and the way we're dealing with this. And nobody wants to talk about that. Nobody wants to look at that issue, but that's what's causing all the problems.
Okay.
So I don't know. It's just another example of how screwed up this place is and how broken the system is, So,
well,
what can I say?
Mr. Yeah. Peterson, would revamping those asylum laws or even just maybe utilizing the laws that are already in place, would that require more beds? Do we have enough room to do what we need to do down there?
Well, I think, to have a situation where people come across the border and turn themselves in, I think they should be on the other side of the border, and make the request, that this is part of why we got all these people coming here, because they've heard that this is what they can do, and I don't think we should shut down asylum for deserving people. But clearly some folks are using this as a way to get into the United States. Our biggest problem is not people crossing the border illegally. Mm-hmm. It's people that have come into the country on a visa and overstaying their visas. Over 50% of the so-called illegals are because of overstaying of visas.
Right.
And in the case of this asylum, they don't have a way to, if they don't have relatives that they can send these folks to, and they don't have a place to put them, they let them go.
Right.
And then those folks disappear into the system. And the federal government is so incompetent that they cannot find these people that overstay the visas. They can't find these people that are coming in on asylum. They lose track of them. The part of it, I guess, they don't have enough resources. But it's a mess. And they're just nibbling around the edges here. And shutting down the government over this, I think, is ridiculous. And we need to get over this.
Okay, it may be ridiculous, Congressman, but what do you think the odds are that we're going to have the government up and running at the end of the week?
Well, I think we will, because I don't think anybody's stupid enough to shut it down again. But we'll see.
Hey, it'll be interesting to see if it happens then.
Right.
Okay, Chairman of the House Ag Committee, second time around. How's it feel?
Well, we're getting started. We got a whole new crop of folks. I think we only have three people that were on the committee when I was chairman last time on the Democratic side. So out of, besides myself, so out of 26 people, 22 weren't there the last time.
Wow.
and they come from a lot of different places, a lot of freshmen. We have some waivers, which we didn't have before. So we've got a challenge. We have a lot of educating to do. We got a lot of oversight to do to make sure the department's operating correctly, but also to use that oversight to help bring our members up to speed on the issues that they have to deal with. Yeah. So we got a lot of work to do, and make sure the Farm Bill provisions get implemented correctly. So that's the kind of thing that we're going to focus on.
Right. You know, to me, Congressman, this looks much more like a there's not a lot of flash to the agenda that you've got or the priorities that you've got for the for the Ag Committee. But, boy, there is a lot of work to do, and it comes down to implementing that Farm Bill, but also kind of, I don't know, riding herd over the implementation of the RFS, right?
Yeah, well, if we only had jurisdiction over the RFS, yeah. But we don't, and that's the problem. And so it's in another committee that has a lot of people on it that are hostile towards the RFS, and and that's operating the way everything else in the government does, because you've got two sides fighting. What should be something that could be easily worked out is not, and. We're frankly fighting over a few hundred million gallons out of 15 billion, and that doesn't make sense to me either. So I've been trying to bring the oil and gas people and the ethanol people together and try to figure out a way to end this war, because I think everybody would be better off if we could do that.
Well, if we would get a strict interpretation of the law from the EPA administrator, who apparently is going to be Wheeler, I think that would go a long ways towards solving some of those problems that you're talking about. What's your impression of Wheeler?
I don't know enough about him at this point. But I think you're right. That would help. But, if we get E15 implemented, that's going to be the next thing. Because the right blend of ethanol is 30%.
Right.
that's what Brazil has figured out a long time ago.
Yep.
That's where you get the best mileage. That's where you get the best, thing for the atmosphere. But you got to have the infrastructure to be able to make that available to the public. Now, what we've got in Minnesota, we've got blender pumps. So if you go into a Senex station, any place in the state, you can dial in 15. You can dial in 30%. You can dial E85. You've got those options. And that's what we need all over the country. That's a better solution than any government mandate. If we just had access at every gas station in the United States to these blends, and we educated the public that, half of them have fuel E85 cars, they don't even know it. That's the long-term solution to this.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. We've only got about 30 seconds left here, Congressman. What else is on the priority list for your committee?
Well, like I say, just bringing our people up to speed. We just got the committee organized last week. We're going to start to have the secretary up to give us an overview of what they're doing down at the department to implement the bill. And we're going to start out on some of our oversight things. So we're just, we're going to do our work. Like you say, it's not going to be flashy. Yeah. But it's important work, and we're going to do it in a bipartisan fashion and do the best we can.
Amen to that. Amen to that. I look forward to having you on many times over the next couple of years, Chairman. It's important to get you on so that we can get the message out to everybody.
Okay, appreciate it. Thank you.
You bet. That is Congressman Colin Peterson from Minnesota. He is the chairman of the House Ag Committee. Coming up next, we got another Peterson from Minnesota, Greg Peterson, checking in on the used machinery market next.
Hey, Bill, any advice to control tough weeds and root worms?
That's easy, Jim. Buy two, save three.
Wait, for weeds and root worms?
Buy two, save three. Combine your Impact or new Impact Z herbicide purchase with a qualifying insecticide and save $3 per acre.
Buy two, save three. That is good advice.
For details, go to buy2save3.com. Impact, Impact Z, and Buy 2 Save 3 are trademarks owned by Amvac Chemical Corporation. All rights reserved. Impact Z is a restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label instructions.
This is Andrew McRae inviting AgriTalk listeners to join me on a railroading tour of the Canadian Rockies featuring ag highlights August 3rd to August 12th. Witness the beauty of Banff National Park. Enjoy stunning scenery aboard Via Rails Canadian as we have overnight service from Jasper to Vancouver and then tour breathtaking Bouchard Gardens. Agricultural features include a local dairy farm and a sixth-generation crop farm. All airfare, hotels, and more are included. Call Holiday Vacations at 800-826-2266 or just click on the link at AmericanCountryside.com.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Joining us now is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady Beach. Starting the week out under some pressure. What's going on?
Well, we did see limited selling pressure overnight, but once we've gotten the daytime trade here, it's really kicked in, and especially in the soybean market. I think there's just limited expectations for what's going to happen at this week's meetings between the U.S. and China. Anticipation that at this point that we won't see a deal in place by the March 1 deadline. Now, that doesn't mean that we won't extend the truce beyond those 90 days, but for now, the market, I think, is skeptical that anything major will happen.
Well, Brian, it sounds to me like we're having to adjust what we were thinking at the end of last week, right?
Well, to some degree. I mean, okay. I just think it's a lot of hurdles to clear, and we've been saying that all the way through. These aren't small hurdles. They're high hurdles, and there's a lot of them to clear, and the odds that it's going to get done by March 1 are limited.
Okay. All right. Not a lot of change in the livestock markets right now.
No, we started out with a mostly firmer tone in cattle. We did have higher cash cow trade last Friday, and then we've seen the buyer interest kind of dry up there. So I think they're just kind of waiting around to see, how those cash opinions formulate for the week. And we do have a little bit of premium in the futures, and they should because of the weather situation, sloppy feedlot conditions, poor weather, those types of things. Now, the hog market continues to just be a struggle to find buyer interest there.
All right. Export sales report, is that the most important thing we're getting from USDA this week?
I think so. And, okay. Watch the Chinese sales, obviously.
Watch the Chinese news. That's right. Thanks, Brian. That's Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady on Markets Now.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
New Dallaro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you achieve personal best yields.
Davis, that right there was a conversation with a guy that wants to get things done and move forward.
Yeah, it absolutely was.
When you hear the frustration,
yep.
I don't know what they're doing. The comments... I'm not in the room. I don't know what they're... Those kinds of comments are coming from somebody that has decided this has gone on long enough.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make a decision and move forward.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I like the congressman.
Yeah, yeah. And if you're fluent in Minnesotan, you know that's the Minnesota version of screaming at the top of one's lungs.
Greg Peterson...
I mean, this guy sounds like he's on Minnesota 10 right now. You know what I mean?
That's about right. It's like we've got Iowa nice, but Minnesota nice like goes another level, dude.
Yeah, it really does. It does.
I tell you guys, Colin, we love Colin. He's from Western Minnesota where I grew up. An old Blue Dog Democrat, and he tells it like it is. And I know my dad was at a meeting. This was a year ago or something, and Colin was out, and they were asking him, you know, Congressman, why, what's the trouble? Why is Washington so broken?
Yeah.
And my dad said that Colin just shot it straight, and he said, well, you know, these folks in Congress, they don't talk to each other. You know, you get elected, and you don't have lunch with each other. They just don't talk. So we love Colin. He cuts through the BS and tries to get stuff done. Who cares if it's right or left? Just do your job. Right.
Yep. Get it done and move on. You know, and when it comes to farm policy, years ago, a young farmer from Illinois made the comment to me. He said, you know what? I really don't care what the farm policy is, but just make a decision and leave it alone for a while so that I can make a business plan around it. And, exactly. And that will put me in a position to prosper going forward. And when I heard that, I was all of a sudden, it just made a lot of sense to me that, sometimes it is the right decision to just make a decision and move past issues that we're dealing
with. Business needs certainty to make any decision.
Yes.
That's just a fact. So it's hopefully Colin can crack the whip and get her done there. We cheer him on.
That's right. All right, let's get to it. We've got Pete's pick of the week this week. And Greg, you're going over to Nebraska for the pick of the week.
Yes, we're going to Schubert, Nebraska. The sale was, I believe it was, I can't remember if it was Friday or Saturday. But wow, it was quite a sale there. It was a 33-year-old four-wheel drive tractor, 1986 John Deere 8650. Looked really sharp. Now the hours were the big thing on a chip. It was under 4,000 hours, 3,780 hours. So we figured, you know, this could be a hot one, but you just never know at auction. But it wound up selling for $39,750. Now, when I looked and compared to our auction price data going back last 20 years in our website, almost to the day, it was the highest auction price on a Deere 8650 in 10 years. Since February 18th of 09, there was a farm auction in Nicollet, Minnesota by Mankato, where an 88 model with just over 3,900 hours brought, I think it was 47. So 10-year high there out in Nebraska. In Schubert, Nebraska. And that was the farm retirement sale for Joe and Judy Schlosser. So a beautiful 8650.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like it. I mean, that amount of hours on it, my gosh. That's hard to find, Greg. 30-year-old
machinery.
It really
is hard to find.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just for perspective, folks, the average auction price on an 8650 the last, like, 3-4 years has been really consistent, running in that high 14,000 to low 15,000 range. So you're over doubling over the average here. But again, when can you find one with those kind of hours? And in fact, a comment on our Facebook post on it Saturday was pretty telling. A guy said, well, $39,750 for the horsepower, I don't care if that's the highest auction price in 10 years. That's still dirt cheap compared to new ones, which is a good point. So it's interesting stuff.
Okay. All right. So anything else at that Nebraska auction catch your eye?
Well, there was one other item, and I think it encapsulated my almost 30 years of reporting on auctions, Chip, in that, you know, your listeners know this, but every sale, you know, some items sell high and some items sell low. That's just the way it is. You know, you usually look at the aggregate and say, well, the sale was above average, below average. So we just said that 8650 went through the roof. Well, same sale had a combine, a 2013 John Deere S550. Now, that S550, that's kind of a rare bird. They, you know, the smaller one, Deere didn't make that many. They're hard to find. This one had just under 1,200 engine hours, and it sold for $88,250. Now, again, that's a 13 model. Yeah, so I looked at our auction price data, and that was the lowest auction price I'd ever seen on an S550 by quite a bit, Chip. But 106 was the previous low. In fact, the average of the previous eight was 136,000, basically 136.5. But again, when you get these oddball items, sometimes now geography comes in, because is that S550 too small for that area of Nebraska? Right. Whereas if you put it in Ohio or Michigan, you know, just back in September, We filmed an auction up in Woonsocket, South Dakota. It was September 7th. The guy was retiring up there, and he had a 12-model S550. Now, that thing was, like, right off the show floor. It was 159 engine hours. He just never used it. And that went for $184, which was the highest auction price I'd seen in almost 5 years on an S550. So, again, these oddball items, there's more price variance when they do show up at auction.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha. What else this week? Anything here in the middle of the Midwest?
Oh, we got some nice upcoming auctions this week, Chip. DPA auctions, online auctions. They have three super nice farm auctions on 2 days. It's Tuesday and Wednesday. Just go to our Facebook page or Twitter, folks. I posted a note on, actually a video last night, a video preview of those, some really nice equipment. Another nice sale a week from today, Monday the 18th, Chip. Iowa Auction Group out in the western Iowa area. They got a 2012 Magnum 290 tractor with 45 hours on it, a 12 model. I wrote a blog about that last week. We got some really nice farm sales coming up this week.
All right. Before we get to what else you've got going on this week, what do you got going on the website on as far as videos that you're posting?
Yeah, we want to let people know, Chip, that we're going to be dropping some videos this week, some really cool stuff. We were filming at the Iowa Power Farming Show in Des Moines a couple weeks ago, and we got some great feature videos with some really cool manufacturers, some neat stuff they're doing. So we'll be starting to post those this week. So, again, just check out machinerypete.com, folks, or Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. You find me out there. We'll be getting these videos out. And, and of course, auction videos. I had a fun one this morning, Chip. I hope to get the video out, but it was from Kentucky on Saturday. I think it was a 9-year-old boy bought his first tractor. It was a John Deere B, and his dad filmed it. He stood off to the side, and his son was filming. He was either 9 or 6. I can't remember.
Oh, geez.
But pretty fun to see the young man win the John Deere B there, so that made me smile this morning.
Nice. Very good. Well, on Thursday, I will see you down in Louisville, but I'll bet you get there even before I do, don't you?
Yeah, I'll be getting in Wednesday morning, first day of the show, Chip, and then the seminar I do every year, that'll be on Thursday, 10 a.m. in the South Hall. So if you're at the show Thursday morning, folks, come on over. And then I'm going to sprint on over and join you, Chip. AgriTalk, is that Syngenta? Is that where we're
at?
Or?
Yes, we will be at the Syngenta booth. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. And then I'll be bouncing around the show, folks. On Wednesday, the first day, you can find me at Shoop Parts. I'll be there at 10:30 in the morning. And then in the afternoon at 3 o'clock at Kyle Manufacturing on Wednesday. And looking forward to visit with those folks. And then on Thursday afternoon, I'll be visiting with the folks at Pat's, 3 o'clock. And then Friday, you can find me at the New Holland exhibit Friday at 10 a.m. And in the afternoon at 1 o'clock at Ritchie Brothers auction, catching up with those folks. So I'll be kind of bouncing around with my phone.
They're all great get-togethers and great opportunities to sit and talk with Greg. But that meeting that the show that you have there with Ritchie Brothers, that's always pretty special.
Well, Ritchie Brothers, you know, world's biggest auction company.
Yeah.
Always interesting to visit with them. And they're making a big push to get more into the farm auctions, the on-site farm auctions. So we'll catch up with them on those efforts. So looking forward to visiting with them this week.
Yeah, no question about it. Hey, I do want to step back and get one more report because I think in your notes you had some Challenger tractors that were sold.
Yeah, you know, Challenger tractors, Chip, they're always interesting because you just don't see them every day. So when they show up, there's high interest in them. And last Wednesday, February 6th, there were two auctions. Same day, and there were three Challenger MT-765Ds on these two auctions. Now, one was up in, I think it was Broadhead, Wisconsin. Really small sale. The guy just had a few pieces. And he had a 13 model with 2,045 hours, and that brought $122,000.
Wow.
Strong price. That was a one-owner tractor. And then in the afternoon, last Wednesday in Newton, Iowa, our friends at Sullivan Auctioneers, they sold two of them.
Okay.
And we posted a YouTube video. You can catch this, but
Yep.
A few more hours. They had one with $3,100 for $100,000 and one with $3,300 for $96,500.
All right. All right, Greg, I'll see you Thursday down in Louisville, buddy.
All right, sounds good, Chip.
That is Machinery Pete, Greg Peterson. We'll talk to him again next week at this time. Coming up next, Michael Bowen from Hemp Association.
All in a Row, a new resource for crop and farm management information, is brought to you by Farm Journal and Valent USA. Visit allinarow.com.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This two DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Hey, Jim, can you grab me something to drink?
Let's see here. Bud Light? No. More Bud Light? No. There's the Coors Light.
You can always count on Jim Wiesmeyer to sort through the noise and get to the good stuff, just like he does each Friday on the DC Signal to Noise podcast. Download it on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, Jim, what should I listen to?
Anything but Nickelback.
When you think of Palmer Amaranth, water hemp, ragweed, and mare's tail, doesn't it just make you want to give them the pounding they deserve? Now you can with Diflex Duo Herbicide. It's the post-emergence corn herbicide with two proven sites of action. So you get powerful control of the toughest weeds, built-in resistance management, and excellent crop safety. So don't just hit weeds. Pound them like never before with Diflex Duo. Learn more at DiflexDuo.us. Always read and follow label instructions.
This is Andrew McRae inviting AgriTalk listeners to join me on a railroading tour of the Canadian Rockies featuring ag highlights August 3rd to August 12th. Witness the beauty of Banff National Park. Enjoy stunning scenery aboard Via Rails Canadian as we have overnight service from Jasper to Vancouver and then tour breathtaking Bouchard Gardens. Agricultural features include a local dairy farm and a sixth-generation crop farm. All airfare, hotels, and more are included. Call Holiday Vacations at 800-826-2266 or just click on the link at AmericanCountryside.com.
Growers face enough worries today. SDS and nematodes shouldn't be among them. Alevo seed treatment from BASF is the only product that offers effective protection against both SDS and nematodes throughout the critical growing period. Growers get amazing early season protection for stronger profit potential at harvest. So worry about weather. Don't worry about SDS or nematodes with Alevo. To find out more about Alevo and how to protect your soybeans, talk to your seed dealer or your BASF rep. Grow smart with BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
It's more than just a piece of paper. Senex Warranty has proven it can be a shield for your bottom line.
My name is Dustin Anderson. I farm in the far southeast corner of North Dakota in a small town called Hankerton. Our farm consists of a lot of different pieces of equipment. We had a combine blow up. We were in the very center of corn harvest. I first called my local Senex guy, Keith, and he had first asked, had you guys been keeping up on the oil sampling when you changed your oil? And I laughed and I said, yeah, my dad, he's very diligent about that. After Keith looked into the Senex Total Protection Plan some more, he confirmed that Senex was going to stand behind it. The oil and the fuel that we use through Senex because of the Senex Total Protection Plan seriously just as good or better than anything we've ever seen. Our engines don't seem to use as much oil as they used to. I wouldn't use any other fuel besides Senex Ruby Fieldmaster. It's been so good to us over the years. As of today, I view the Senex warranty as more valuable than the factory warranty.
Find out more at Senex.com.
The mighty Prosaro, king of fungicides. Its fast action and long residual make it the keeper of grain quality and yield, the hammer of head and leaf diseases, the number one reducer of scab. When your goal is greater wheat quality and higher yield, use Prosaro fungicide, and the crown of higher profit will be yours. Learn more at prosaro.us. Always read and follow label instructions.
Thanks to our sponsor, ESN Smart Nitrogen, the smartest way to reduce nitrogen loss and increase yield. Learn more at smartnitrogen.com.
All right, welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. The 2018 Farm Bill takes the shackles off of industrial hemp production. And when you look at some of the potential returns, the money-making potential is eye-popping. But for how many farmers? How many acres? In other words, how big is the market and how many farmers might be able to profit from industrial hemp? I recently talked with Michael Bowen, the founding chair of the National Hemp Association, about those questions. So educate me. How are we going to use this industrial hemp?
Well, the crop is, I call it, it's food, feed, fuel, fiber, and pharma. The plant has a reportedly 25,000 uses. I've not spent the time to count to 25,000. It's certainly a lot. The key part of this is it's going to bring some diversity options to us. You know, particularly, we're looking at a time right now and the challenges with the traditional crops. Industrial hemp, I think, can fill a pretty interesting void in our rural communities. It's going it is, as I said, going to give us the option for more diverse agriculture, and then it's going to give us, I believe, opportunities to do a lot of value added projects, you know, in our rural communities where we can take this plant and convert it into products for the marketplace. I would say, for starters, you know, this is just it's an exciting crop. Hemp is hot. In large part because the veil's been removed and yeah. People understand what it can do. You know, the marketplace is just in general is demanding products that are, you know, sustainable. And that's a word that I think we're increasingly using in agriculture. I think, you know,
absolutely.
You know, words matter and some words cause, and it's just have historically caused some, you know, negative reaction. But I think, you know, agriculture's opportunity to step to the plate here and, you know, create these new opportunities, create new environmental benefits. We need to find ways that the farmers are incentivized and paid for these services. But this crop fills that void, I think, okay. that we haven't had before.
Okay. You know, I'm one of the guys out here in the middle of the country, Michael, that has been saying for several years, many years, mm-hmm. that we need a viable third crop to throw into the mix. And if industrial hemp can be that, I am all for it. Now, food... Feed, fuel, pharma, right?
And fiber,
absolutely.
Pharma with an F. We're you know, we're the little pharma guys. You know, we do our thing.
I gotcha. So fuel. Talk to me about the fuel component there.
Well, you know, in the early days of my working on this, I had the opportunity to meet and get to be a good friend with then ex-CIA director James Woolsey. In large part because he was pushing the hemp crop as the as a low impact high value crop for advanced biofuels, which Jim was very interested in, and so he was taking his, you know, cues from, you know, globally that this plant has been used to, you know, create fuels outside of the market. You know, the U.S. has been the largest consumer market, by the way, for industrial hemp products. For decades, and yet our farmers couldn't produce for that marketplace.
Right.
We imported everything. So you know, although Jim was at that time, and my introduction to kind of the commercial opportunities for this were fuel related at the time.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay, so you just said that the U.S. is the largest consumer market. Although we don't produce it here, we import it. How big is the market?
Well, 2 years ago, the market was estimated to be at about $600 million. Today it's I think we're in the $1.2-1.3 billion range. Most of that is due to the production of CBD oil, which comes from the female plant. It's estimated now that by 2025, this could be a $10 billion market. I think New Frontier Data just announced or gave that number out.
Wow. $10 billion market.
Yeah.
How let's see.
I know, I get that way too.
if it's going to be a $10 billion market, that's got to be a combination of all the uses of hemp, right?
That is correct. And that number is still largely being driven by the value of the CBD oil market. Mm-hmm. So that is reigning, and that is the dominant product right now. We're going to have some, once we address some of these infrastructure issues, and these aren't in the context of the kind of the way we have to spend money for rural infrastructure. These aren't large expenditures, but we're going to have to make some investments in our rural communities, and that I think will have a terrific and kind of return on our investment. For a lot of reasons for our community, not just jobs, but for a lot of other reasons as well.
So, how many acres might this crop use in a year?
Well, the acreage for 2018 nationally is going to be somewhere in the 75 to 100,000 range. Once all the reports are in, which is just the tip of the iceberg. If I look at my home county of Yuma County, Colorado, we had 250,000 irrigated acres not long ago. So, when you put that in the context of where we are, against the acreage of corn and soybeans today, we're barely a blip on the radar screen. But I think that we can. I think that will grow substantially, and soon.
Grow substantially and soon. See, that's the thing here, Michael. When I think of the industrial hemp market, obviously I'm a corn and soybean guy. I'm sitting over here in Northeast Iowa right now. I've got corn all around me, soybeans all around me, hay. I've got those markets for industrial hemp. To have an impact on all of agriculture, it's going to have to compete for acres. Mm-hmm. I just don't know if it can do that. Can it?
Well, I think it's. I think it has the opportunity to do that.
Okay. All right. That is Michael Bowen. He is the founding chair of the National Hemp Association. Huh. And Davis, there you go. He thinks that in the future, industrial hemp will be competing for acres, or has the opportunity to compete for acres against corn, against soybeans, against hay, against wheat.
Yeah.
So.
Just right off the top, not to be a naysayer. I mean, we're having a hard enough time getting ethanol from corn infrastructure put together. I mean, isn't that the big thing with ethanol? And even Peterson said it earlier today. Well, where we've got the infrastructure for it, the blender pumps, etc.
Right.
Now we're going to potentially add a second biofuel or a third biofuel crop to, I don't know.
It'll take a while. Yes, and I don't want to, I hope it is a successful crop.
Absolutely.
I really do, because if it is, it gives us that viable third option.
Sure.
But you got to take a close look and really evaluate what your profit potential is on this stuff before you move forward, no doubt there. Yeah. All right. Thank you for listening today, everybody. Thanks to Colin Peterson and to Greg Peterson. Come back this afternoon. I'm going to be talking with Luke Beckman from Central Valley Ag, and we'll have Kerry Artak on as well.
Current price times 1,000 acres. Kerry the one.
These days, it's hard to make the math work for your soybean fields. The BASF Liberty Link system with Liberty Herbicide makes it easier. Start with a 2-plus bushel per acre yield advantage. Add in lower system input costs and more complete weed control, and you get an extra $33 or more profit potential per acre compared to Asgro Roundup Ready 2 Extend soybeans. Grow smart with Liberty Link and BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Give your corn a strong defense against stress throughout the season with MycoApply Endoprime SC. MycoApply Endoprime SC uses 4 specially selected species of mycorrhizal fungi to protect your crop against stress. That means more access to water and key micronutrients while building a healthy soil structure for stronger crops for years to come. Stronger corn starts beneath the surface. Learn more about MycoApply Endoprime SC at EndoprimeCorn.com. Always read and follow label instructions.
Thanks to Cruiser Max Vibrance Beans Seed Treatment for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your retailer or Syngenta representative about investing in a turbocharged seed treatment that delivers industry-leading ROI.